Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Mully and Hall. Live and local. Chicago sports talk for your morning on 670 The Score.
Justin's going to be our starter. Prep starts, starts right now. Get out there and have a week of practice and see where that goes. But I know he's looking forward to it, and Andy's been great. He's been extremely supportive, and this is a part of the business. And so now it's a great opportunity for Justin and for all of us as a staff to be able to take this thing and see where he goes with this. You know, when Andy is healthy, our plan continues for him to be the starter. I know there was a little Brad, I don't know if he's in here, but there's a little miscommunication the other day with that, so I apologize with that.
I'm going to go out there on Sunday and play my best, and of course just try to come out with a win, and that's my main focus. My main focus isn't, you know, winning the starting job. You know, I think that's going to come with time, so my main focus right now is just to prepare the best I can and, you know, go out Sunday and execute at a high level.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to The Score. Public apology to Beeksy. That's pretty good.
How about that?
How many head coaches have apologized to you over the years, David?
It's a short list. To really think about that one. No.
It's a non-existent list, frankly.
Don't recall
that's
any.
Pretty good.
Yeah.
Okay. So that's the news. The big news is that Justin Fields is starting at quarterback. And I think that brings with it a certain level of excitement. Now, maybe that was tempered when he came in last week and you didn't see the explosion of points that we know is there and everybody's waiting for, and he didn't kind of levitate behind center and look out over the field and then come back down and get the ball and turn it into wine or whatever the hell everyone expected him to do. He is not a football messiah, but he is sort of a guy that you expect to be in his job for a long time to come. He's a guy that was a tough guy at Ohio State. I remember him leaving for 2 plays, and he came back in and scored a touchdown each time that he left the field. So I think toughness is one of the great qualities in a quarterback that you have to have, and it's about being able to overcome adversity. And that means if you get hit, you keep your wits about you and you're able to play the next down. That also means that you make a mistake and you don't kind of see your pulse get too high or too low. You're able to sort of accept what happens and move beyond any error that may have occurred. And I think he shows that quality. I also think that with rookies, with guys that are coming into new systems, you are trying to figure out a giant puzzle. You've learned things a certain way your entire life, and now you're in a situation where you're trying to figure out exactly what the language is and how you go about doing, you know, putting it in your own terms. That ends up confusing people. We talk about guys changing from one scheme to the other and how the language is slightly different, and you gotta stop translating in your head and you gotta just start being able to play the game. So it would help him to sort of get back to basics and find things that he does well and work on that. And also limit the kind of decisions that he's forced to make in the pocket. You do that by moving that release point, and the opponent doesn't know where he's going to be at every play.
Good stuff. I think this, you know, without making excuses for him, and I think we both have been honest about what he was, and I think more importantly, what he wasn't in his in his first extended actions in the second half against the Bengals. I think you wiped the slate clean. Right now, it's almost like that didn't happen. We don't need pomp and circumstance. This isn't a coronation. This is a depth chart move. This is a necessary move because your starter was injured, whatever you think of Andy Dalton or not. This is the way football coaches operate. Next man up, it's Justin Fields. It's time. So now that it's time, what do? Well, you've got all week to prepare. You're going against the Browns defense that's given up 27 points a game in two games, Mully. I mean, this is the 22nd ranked defense in the NFL. They've only had three sacks. So this is a group, as much as you respect it, as much as you know that there's Myles Garrett on the other end and Clowney and a lot of people who are trying to get well with this defense, it's still an opportunity. And that's the way Justin Fields has got to view it, and that's the way the Bears coaching staff has got to view it. You've got a guy who now gives you options you didn't have before, maybe never have had previously. Move the pocket, take advantage of his skill set, call some quarterback runs, call some safe passes to build his confidence early, because once he gets confidence, this is a superior athlete who becomes even more dangerous, because that is the only thing we don't know that he doesn't have yet. Confidence and experience, and one comes with the other.
Yeah, I mean, it's real obvious that building some success into the game plan is important. You know, get the guy, open the game, just go down to bare basics. Get the guy a completion early in his tenure here on Sunday, and make it, you know, scheme an open receiver and get him a 7-yard pass. And you'll help build his confidence. And, you know, the Bears don't really struggle at the beginning of games. It's later on when they have to kind of make their adjustments. You can even run a couple plays a couple times. I mean, you don't have to get as crazy. And it's not about what kind of gimmickry, what kind of tomfoolery. It's about what can he do and how comfortable can you make him.
One thing I do wonder about quarterbacks who are – running quarterbacks, and not that this is all the thing that Justin Fields is, but we know he's dangerous with his feet. I wonder if early on it's good to get him hit. It's good to kind of have them acclimate to the game by just calling an RPO, because, you know, this is where his comfort zone lies. And to a quarterback like Justin Fields, I wonder if running an RPO to get that sort of brain functioning in that way and maybe get him hit a little bit and maybe get him on the move, if that is the same equivalent as completing a schemed pass or getting somebody open, just because this is what you're going to expect out of him moving forward as part of your game plan.
312-644-6767. That is the telephone number. Okay. Now that we know Justin Fields is starting, what do you want to do with him? How comfortable do you feel that he is there? And it doesn't really come down to coaching. Does it come down to making him as comfortable as possible? We know the Score listener line is powered by BetQL. Bet smarter, beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com.
The BetQL network is available nationwide on the Odyssey mobile app and website, over 10,000 home and auto-connected devices, and BetQLnetwork.com.
We'll start with Keith. He's on I-88. Keith, you're on with Mully and Hall.
Morning, guys. How are you?
Good.
Great.
So I was thinking about something with Justin Fields. We live in a world of instant gratification. Everybody wants results right now, right now, right now, right now. The city of Chicago, unfortunately, has never had a real franchise quarterback. I would suggest patience. Troy Aikman's in the Hall of Fame. Eli Manning is probably going to be in the Hall of Fame, and both of those guys had horrific rookie years, but their team stuck with them. They said, this is our guy, and look how it ended up for them. I mean, if you trust the guy, and I think Justin Fields is the guy you can trust that in, then as long as he doesn't get hurt, I think he's got a great, great future with the city and the Chicago Bears, and that should be your guy long term.
Yeah, we've talked about this a number of times. We don't know what it looks like. We don't know what it looks like, and it's very important because we haven't seen a guy come in here and be a franchise quarterback. We're not sure what you're supposed to be looking for. We're not sure how long it takes. We're not sure what the process is. And it's, the Supreme Court definition of pornography. You know it when you see it. I'm just hoping that it unfolds in front of us, and I'm confident that it will. I really have a lot of faith in this kid.
I really do, too. But I do think it's a good reminder that there will be struggles, and it won't be as obvious or maybe as immediate as some people might like. If it does go that way, terrific. Then we are encountering and entering territory that we never have encountered or experienced before. That'd be great too. But I do think that based on even last Sunday in the second half, that was a reminder that what did Theo used to say? Progress isn't going to be linear. It's going to be ups, there's going to be downs, there's going to be a lot of things that happen to young quarterbacks along the way. But Justin Fields, based on our experiences, based on everybody's sort of intelligence and looking at this, he's got stardom potential, and that's the loaded word though, potential.
Let's try Ed. He's in Downers Grove. Hey, Ed.
Good morning, guys. Hey, you know what I want to see this week is a statement by the Bears. I want to see them run read option to the strong side and hand the ball to Montgomery. I want to see the same play next and dump the ball to the tight end. And then I want to see Fields keep the ball. And I want Nagy to say, okay, Browns, NFL, this is who we are. We also got rollout and bootleg off this, and we're going to run this like the Packers ran power sweep. And you're going to have to defend this phenomenal athlete. And you know what? At that point, that briefcase full of blues that I've been promising you for 4 years, it will finally become useful. Statement. This is who we are. This is what we are. And this is what we're going to be.
Thanks for the phone call.
And that's not on the quarterback. That's on the play caller. Yeah.
It is. That's what we've been saying all week, is that this is as big of a week for Matt Nagy as it is for Justin Fields, just because we would like to see some growth in him as well. So the acknowledgement that you're dealing with a different style of a quarterback, so everything about your game plan and play calling should reflect that.
Let's try LaGrange Bob. Hey, Bob.
Yes. What's all the big huff about? Justin Fields ready to go, okay? Now, remember Lamar Jackson? What did he do? He says, I'm going to make everybody regret not drafting me. Oh, he's a running quarterback. No, he's a quarterback. So Justin Fields will be just fine. What are you guys doing? Michael got the microscope on it? He did well. Robinson dropped the ball, okay? And on those false starts, I think the ball's supposed to come out right now. I think the ball's supposed to come out. All the impacts with the one. I think Whitehead should have let the ball go when he wouldn't go back for nothing. He's
Sam
not a dummy.
Sam Mustafer.
I think the ball's supposed to come out on those false starts. And you're going to microscope the false start. Oh, he false started. The ball was supposed to come out. But he threw one interception. Brady's throwing interception also. So what's the big deal? It's football.
Well, I think – I don't know, Bob. I think you're misreading what we're saying. First of all, I don't think we've – been attacking Justin Fields in any way.
Nobody,
and in fact,
nobody's attacking him.
We thought the interception, I think we both agreed that was insane to throw the ball in that situation. Neither of us has gone after Justin Fields. I think we both felt that Matt Nagy made a terrible play call, and he needed to, as we've said repeatedly, run and punt in that situation. Run the ball, and then they have to use their last time out. Then you punt the ball, and you give them a large field that they have to cover. And I know we're going to have an argument about what the defense can do and whether or not the secondary has fallen apart at that point in the game. Seemed like Kendall Vildor did not close that game very well. But who knows? I mean, if you don't give them the ball on the 7-yard line, maybe you win the game by 10. Maybe you get another turnover on defense. I mean, there's 1,000 different ways you can look at it. I'm glad you brought up the Baltimore Ravens, because we have talked about this fourth down thing David, I couldn't stop myself. I spent a lot of time yesterday picking apart the fourth downs and what's going on in the league and why is
the analytics
big, the whole analytics of it. Why is there this big movement for it and how are the Bears doing in it? And it was interesting. I think as I broke it down, I think Matt Nagy is like 33.2% on all of his fourth down attempts. He's had 2 years. In 2018, they were like over, they were around 60%, and same thing last year. It was not the same way in 2019, and obviously 0-for-5 doesn't help. So overall, he falls to like 32.3% when it gets to fourth down. And it occurred to me that we're basing a lot of this stuff, we talk about the analytics, and so we're basing a lot of it on what other teams are doing and how other teams are going about it. And obviously we saw John Harbaugh go for a fourth down, a key fourth down that they got, and they ended up winning the game. And it was an interesting call because they were on their own 40-something yard line and they were leading by a couple points, but they went for it. Now, why do you go for it there? Well, the opposing quarterback is Patrick Mahomes. He's been cutting a swath through your team. You know, the analytics should include that you're giving the ball to a guy that's likely to beat you by a point if you give him the ball when you're down two for the end of the game. So there are their analytics going into your analytics. It's a totally different situation than whether you're up by 3 or 10. I just think up by 7 or 10. I just think that you've got to look at each situation, who your opponent is, and you got to ask yourself the easy question, which is, can we get a yard here?
It's all about context, just like everything, whether it's a fourth down or a quote or whatever. It's all about in context. And in the context of the Bears game, in that situation, it just seemed like it was a feel that a field goal might have helped you more than, you know, but a better chance of that, even though it was a 50-yarder, Cairo Santos has been very good. The Harbaugh situation, Molly, I mean, it was Patrick Mahomes on the other side. You're ahead 36-35. There's a minute 5 left. You're at your own 43. I get it. You also have Lamar Jackson. I get it. So there are different rules for different fourth down situations, but every fourth down, as I think you said the other day, has a life of its own. So it needs to be treated differently. So I understand that decision, and I understand the analytics aren't always the be-all and end-all. You got to go with instinct as much as you do the analysis.
All right, we're going to get to the pick six next. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
Call from Mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on List.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com. Chicago Sports Station. It's Pick Six with Mully and Haw, where we debate the top six sports stories of the day and then open it up to you, the Chicago sports fan. Call us at 312-644-6767, or you can tweet your thoughts at Mully Haw. Pick Six with Mully and Haw starts now.
Given the way the Bears likely will tailor the offense with Justin Fields at quarterback by moving the pocket and simplifying reads, who's the most likely to emerge as a favorite target? Allen Robinson as the number one receiver, Cole Kmet as the tight end targeted more on boots and rollouts, or running back David Montgomery if Fields resorts to checking down a lot, or someone else?
Yeah, you know, I think that it's going to be Allen Robinson. I hope it's Allen Robinson. I can't say Cole Kmet because he hasn't been doing anything of late. It could be David Montgomery, but I think they're going to try to make plays. It could be Darnell Mooney, quite frankly, because I think he's a speed guy and a guy that can run some crossing patterns. And I think that there can be, you know, I hope it's Marquise Goodwin. I hope it's down the field touchdowns one after the other. But I would say probably Allen Robinson, could be Darnell Mooney. I got to go with what's happened to the tight ends, and that's been nothing. So I can't pick a tight end. I think he's going to be more ambitious than just kind of flipping the ball to the running back. So I'm going to go with probably Robinson over Mooney. Close.
When I hear Robinson now, I'm going to hear Dustin calling him Pouty Pants, Mr. Pouty Pants. I'm not going to get past that. Because yes. I think that was hilarious.
He could be Mr. Puffy Pants, David. He could turn into a different version of who was that guy that was hanging around all the time, all the sporting events? Hammer. Yeah. MC Hammer. Yeah,
exactly.
Puffy Pants.
Too legit to quit. So I think that when you talk about this offense, this is going to be something that I think there's going to be a commitment to get the tight ends more involved, as well as a more of a commitment to move the pocket. And when you have those two things, as we know, I think the tight end emerges as a more likely candidate to be your targeted receiver, your number one receiver, your safety valve, even for a young quarterback trying to build confidence. I hope you're right. I hope it's Allen Robinson. That means a deep passing game might be in play. I think Darnell Mooney with the deep crossers against the Bengals, that was a weapon that might be able to exploit again. But I'm going to go the safe route. I think that Justin Fields is going to lean on the tight end, that Matt Nagy is committed to becoming a bigger part of this game plan Sunday.
Pick six on a house call for Roquan Smith.
Are you encouraged to see defensive tackle Eddie Goldman able to take part in limited amount of practice, or is there any enthusiasm lashed by seeing Akeem Hicks out from practice due to gasp illness? Important note, he is not on the COVID list.
Yeah, enthusiasm not dashed because Akeem Hicks is had an illness. I think it's probably a Veterans Day. It's only Wednesday. Look, the big day for Eddie Goldman is today. Because last week we woke up Thursday morning feeling pretty good. Eddie Goldman's back. Hey, look, everybody. And then we had to kind of contain that enthusiasm, take it all back because he didn't go 2 days in a row. So let's see today. Mully, we both know how important it is for the Bears to stop that running game. Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt have the opportunity to take over this football game. Kevin Stefanski will let them, because this is a coach that understands how to play to his strengths. Eddie Goldman being back is a big deal for the Bears defense.
Yeah, I got to tell you, this is one of the better running teams in the NFL. They've got a couple of really good running backs you got to worry about, and Eddie Goldman would help a ton. I believe the arrow is up. But we were told that last week, and he was unable to play. But I remember talking to Grody in the pregame, and he was running through drills, Eddie Goldman was, and Grody was standing next to him, and he was saying, God, he looks fine to me. And I thought, okay. Like, they really wanted him to play on Sunday, and he wasn't quite up to snuff, so this will be the week. And they need him this week. So I'm hoping – I would not trade a return of Eddie Goldman for the loss of Akeem Hicks. That would drive me nuts. But I would love to see Eddie Goldman finally get out there and do his thing. I think it's needed this week, and here's hoping.
Was that Dr. Grody?
Dr. Eddie Van Grody. Scoreboard
update. Get off my lawn, Haw. From the Northwestern Football Update Studio, I'm Dustin Rhodes. Here's what's happening. White Sox magic number is 2, and the White Sox are playing 2 in Cleveland. They're already there. It will be Ronaldo Lopez throwing in the first game, Jimmy Lambert playing in the second game. All the White Sox need to do is win one game today, and they will win the division. The Cubs were swept in 2 games by the Twins. Last night it was 5-4 in favor of the Twins. The Cubs are off today. Final home series of the season starts Friday against the Cardinals, who are red-hot winners of 11 in a row. And the Bears announced midday that Justin Fields would make his first career start in Cleveland Sunday against those Browns, but Nagy had to put in there that when Andy Dalton is healthy, he is our starter. Eddie Goldman did go through a little bit of practice yesterday. Akeem Hicks was out with illness, and right now the Bears are a 7-point underdog at Cleveland on Sunday, a total of 45.5 per our friends over at Bet Rivers. And tonight, week 3 gets underway. Panthers at Texans. Coverage on the score begins at 6:30. Football returns to Wrigley Field this fall when the Cats host Purdue. Buy the tickets, NUSports.com.
A pick 6 to end the half!
With 9 games to go after today's doubleheader against the Indians, if the White Sox finally celebrate a division title, should the remainder of the season be used as time to rest everyday players like Jose Abreu and Tim Anderson, or experiment with the bullpen roles, or both?
You know, if only, right? If only we could get there. Is that asking so damn much to just get to that point where you're just having fun and using things, last 9 games, let's have a laugh, I don't know what the heck you're supposed to do, because they can't get there. But if they do, I think that you'd like to get everyone up and running for the playoffs. So I'm not putting anyone in bubble wrap, but you'd like to get everyone kind of sometime feeling good. I'd like to get to 90 wins. I don't think 5 wins is asking that much. It'd be a nice thing to do, but 5-6 seems like a dream at this point.
If I were to punctuate your size, I would run out of exclamation points. I would. I just, they're great. They're very telling. And I understand that. But you want to take care of business today, celebrate all you want, and then you might consider giving Jose Abreu, I don't know if the weekend off, but a couple days. Heal, rest. You'll get your eye back. You got a week or so before the playoffs start. That's the guy I'd be most concerned about. Tim Anderson, too, if his legs are barking, as Tony La Russa likes to say. You want to get Adam Engelsohn at bats. You want to get other guys going again. Andrew Vaughn may need a couple days. But take care of business, and then, yeah, treat it like spring training. It is the preseason to the postseason. So whatever you need to do to ramp up to get guys ready, do it. But win today, and then give Jose Abreu a few days to just rest and recover.
A pick 6 of 100 yards!
Without posing the doomsday scenario of whether the White Sox should fire Tony La Russa if they Renteria the playoffs, as Molly suggested Wednesday, how likely or unlikely is it that La Russa, who turned 77 the day before the postseason begins, wants to walk away after one season if the Sox don't win the World Series he returned to win?
Well, I love the using Renteria as a verb, by the way. I do love that new kind of lexicon that will use the Renteria as a verb moving forward. I have no idea what Tony La Russa is thinking, and I think that I didn't start to consider that possibility until you posed the question, frankly, in terms of what the Sox would do if they don't win the World Series, and would they consider that, and Ozzie got a good kick out of it. But do we really know that Tony has an appetite to come back? I don't know. I mean, when you hear him talk, he does seem invested, but he also seems sometimes distracted or a little bit fatigued. So I don't know that we can assume anything about somebody who does turn 77 before the playoffs begin, and what is the toll going to be on him after the season when he starts to look ahead and consider the best options for him personally and professionally. So I think that this is one of the things you don't like to say on Sports Talk Radio, but I don't know what Tony La Russa feels about the future. I really don't.
Yeah, you know, I don't really care. I want the White Sox to win. I'm not worried about whether Tony decides to walk away or not. I am only concerned with the Sox needing to get not just to the playoffs, but through the playoffs, okay? I think that they set a standard last year. They set a standard, and the standard wasn't met, and they fired the guy that was in charge. I think the same standard should apply. I think that there are many reasons that things don't go your way, but this is a better team than they were a year ago. Tony La Russa made a conscious decision that he wasn't going to try to win. He was going to try to make sure everyone was healthy for the playoffs. That was a decision that he made. If that blows up on them, then he should be held responsible for it. And, you know, I get it. You know, whether it's his, you know, gloomy intensity or his, you know, low energy way of approaching things. Whatever works is great as far as I'm concerned. But if it doesn't work, then you stick to the standard that you set.
Pick six.
When asked which current starters would be penciled into the 2022 starting rotation, Cubs manager David Ross started, obviously, with Kyle Hendricks and also included Alec Mills after Mills gave up 6 earned runs. But that's where Ross's list stopped. Are you surprised he didn't mention anybody else in-house? How do you think the Cubs plan to fill the other 3 spots?
I think he's right, frankly. I think that, you know, you definitely think Kyle Hendricks is a guy you can build around, and Alec Mills has earned a 5th man rotation spot. Let's put it that way. He should be on the back end. So you got the front end and the back end. They're mixing and matching a lot of young guys. You know, Zach Davies is not coming back. They're mixing and matching different young guys, none of whom have earned their position yet. They're all in competition. They need to go out and sign a minimum of 2 pitchers in the free agent market. And then they need to see if they can get one of those young guys to battle for 1 spot. And I'm talking about, you know, 3 guys battling to try to fill 1 spot. And then hopefully you build a rotation around that and everybody else contributes in some way and you get better. But you look at that group, they need not 1, but 2 legitimate Major League Baseball starters. And frankly, they needed that before the season began.
At least. You're exactly right. So Mills and Hendricks, similar right-handed stylistically. So you wonder about that commitment. They need swing and miss guys. They need guys who are going to miss some bats. And I do wonder about this commitment to Alec Mills now. Had they done this in spring training instead of committing to DF Arrieta, I don't know that you would have had the same sort of issues early in the season that you encountered. So you need to go out. You need to get 2 free agents. Maybe Carlos Rodon is one of those lefties with swing and miss stuff that is going to be on the free agent market. I said that for Dustin to perk up there because I know how much he fears overpaying Carlos Rodon as a free agent. But maybe he's a guy. You need 2 veteran starters in free agency. And Mully, I think Adber Alzolay is going to be a guy that emerges again to be given another opportunity to prove that this season, you know, he was up and down, and next season maybe he can achieve that consistency.
Can you believe this? Pick 6!
Who's under the most pressure on Saturday at Soldier Field when number 12 Notre Dame and number 18 Wisconsin square off? Notre Dame coach Brian Kelly, Wisconsin coach Paul Christ, or Notre Dame quarterback Jack Cohen, who transferred after 4 years at Wisconsin? Is the real storyline that matters the Notre Dame O-line versus the Badgers front 7?
Absolutely. That is the crux of the game. The Notre Dame offensive line, which has, you know, not had a great start to the season, they need to protect, they need to establish the ground game. I don't think there's any pressure on Wisconsin. I think they come into Soldier Field with an opportunity. I like Chris a lot. I think that he runs a great program. I have a lot of respect for Wisconsin. You know, Brian Kelly's going to make history if they win. He's going to pass Newt Rockne in Chicago. That's going to be a historic event. But the pressure, if you want to call it that, to address the question, Jack Cohn, he's facing his former teammates. He left Wisconsin. He chose Notre Dame. That's a lot of pressure. He also has to play well to keep his job. Tyler Buckner nipping at his heels as the freshman who is very versatile and very dangerous. So I think the pressure falls squarely on Cohen's shoulder pads.
Yeah, I think that the pressure is on one of the 2 coaches. I think that that is college football. It should always, we should always keep the pressure on the guy coaching the team, and it's whoever loses the game. I think that you're right. Paul Chryst has a really good chance here, and he's got a really good team. And that Notre Dame offensive line has really been fairly mediocre, which is why they've been mediocre. And Wisconsin has a chance to dominate them on defense. That'll be a really good matchup to watch. I think Jack Cohen, you know, he left one guy for the other guy, whatever way you want to put it. I think that he is – he's sort of an ancillary figure in this game, believe it or not. I don't think it's all about him. I don't think it's all about what his decision was. I think it's about the two men that lead the teams. And I think that, you know, one of the two will be some weird, you know, persecuted genius by the time the game is over, and the other guy will be celebrated hero. And, you know, Brian Kelly needs to win a championship if he's going to seal his legacy at Notre Dame. I know he got to the game. But guess what? You know, you're about to overtake Rockne for the most wins or whatever. Win a bloody championship if you want to be considered a great coach at Notre Dame. That's just where the bar is set. I'm all about the standard.
Wow.
312-644-6767. Yeah, I can't get past the Ricky Renteria-ing up the playoffs. It's Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 The Score.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
You know, when Andy is healthy, our plan continues for him to be the starter. I know there was a little, Brad, I don't know if he's in here, but there was a little miscommunication the other day with that, so I apologize with that.
We're going to talk to Big Z at 7 o'clock so we can... we could talk to him about that. He got an apology from the coach, something, David, that has eluded you in your career.
Yeah, we haven't had to apologize. No. We don't have anything to apologize to Brad for, do we? I mean, maybe.
I sincerely apologize to him. It was rude. And that's one of my favorite scenes ever in a movie. You ever see A Fish Called Wanda, where they show John Cleese apologizing, and then they turn it around, and you see he's being hung out a window by his ankles. But it's very, very funny.
Yeah. Well, hey, Big Z deserved it at that point because Matt Nagy kind of it was an odd answer on Monday, which may have, you know, let's go back. I mean, that was an awkward moment when he said that it was a scheme question when clearly it wasn't. And maybe that led to him wanting to get out in front of this story to clarify things yesterday, Mully. I mean, it's not beyond the realm of possibility that was not the scheduled day for Matt Nagy to speak. They moved it up. They wanted everybody to know, including the Cleveland Browns. They removed any sort of strategic nonsense, and they said Justin Fields is starting, and there's no ambiguity there. So I think maybe the two things are actually related. They want to be clear and strong in the message.
So if Justin Fields is starting, then the backup is Nick Foles.
Yes, I think that almost goes without saying.
Right.
Andy Dalton's not healthy enough to be active. There's probably some conversation, as you correctly pointed out, about putting him on injured reserve for three games. Nick Foles is your backup. He's here for a reason, and frankly, you're one play away. I mean, when you have a quarterback that's going to expose himself to the kind of hits that a running quarterback will if you're Justin Fields, yeah, Nick Foles is one play away now from taking over that Bears offense again. Wow.
That is terrifying. I mean, that is just the last thing. Okay, worst case scenario is Justin Fields all pumped up. He starts to sprint out onto the field, and he turns an ankle.
Oh, man. Stop.
He just turns an ankle. I'm just saying.
I know.
And then Nick Foles ends up starting the game. That would be the worst case scenario, right?
Oh, my gosh. You mean getting injured in pregame to prevent him from making his first NFL start?
Kind of the worst case scenario. Okay, now listen, I'm only joking around because I feel like if you don't say it, then it can't happen, or if you say it, it won't happen. I don't know what way you word it, but I'm not putting a Malecki on him. Justin Fields has been an unbelievably tough kid. He's only been lost for a couple of plays when he was playing at Ohio State. So it's, and he came back and did great. He's a tough guy, and he's got a very strong physique. He looks like a guy. You know, this is not one of these bird-legged quarterbacks that's coming in without calves to try to play here or there. This is a guy that looks the part, that runs the ball, looks like a guy that can run the ball. He is a strong, a big dude.
Yeah.
I'm not worried about it, but you just said it. When you're talking about a backup quarterback situation, you're a heartbeat away from being the number one guy. And now Nick Foles goes from afterthought, you know, expensive little bauble that you kept on a shelf to a guy that right now has been dusted off and could potentially have to come into the game.
But again, you don't want to turn over your season and certainly not your franchise to Nick Foles at this stage of his career.
No.
But this is what he does best, is that what he has always done throughout his career, made a reputation, made a lot of money based on his ability to come off the bench. He is maybe the best reliever in Chicago outside of Liam Hendricks, and now he is in that role one play away. I'm not saying that the Bears would welcome that, embrace that. You'd be scared to death about what happens, but if Nick Foles is – I don't have the same sort of triggered reaction to the idea of him as a backup on the active roster on Sunday that a lot of people do, only because if he's here for anything, it's to come off the bench and to get you out of a game, get you through a game. I don't want him getting us through the month, but I think getting him out of the game would be reasonable to expect if you have to do that. Let's hope they don't have to.
So what is your anticipation then with Andy Dalton? They're going to put him on injured reserve before – do you think it's a three-week injury? Do you think it's, starting with 1 week, probably a two-week injury? How long do you think he goes? And you know, if they don't put him on, as we said, by Saturday, then he couldn't play in the third week.
Well, Molly, obviously we're not privy to the x-rays or the MRIs, but I think that if you're the Bears, you probably want to wait if you can until after you see what you got on Sunday. Because if this is a pain threshold thing, and, you know, the reason that Andy Dalton was even invoked yesterday and mentioned by Matt Nagy is because you have to, as much confidence as you have in Justin Fields, this football. And you just don't know what's going to happen, whether it's injury or an effectiveness that you don't expect. But Justin Fields was shaky in two quarters against the Bengals. You probably want to wait until Monday before you make too definite of a decision about what to do over the next three games. Wouldn't you say that's probably the football coach approach to this, is that wait and see. And if it becomes a pain threshold thing, maybe Dalton is still available sooner rather than later, and then you want to leave that possibility open.
Yeah, I think that the problem is that it's incumbent upon you. If it's a three-week injury, you need to get him on IR probably right now, probably tomorrow, because I guess obviously Saturday's the day. But if it's a three-week injury, you want the guy, you want to have the roster spot, and you want to have somebody able to contribute, and you want to be able to move the guy back the minute that he's healthy. If he's not going to be available over 3 weeks, if you have determined it's probably 3 to 4 week injury, I say put him on injured reserve, and then you know when he's coming back. You have a good sense that you're going to be bringing in reinforcements. You're going to be able to move somebody up, whatever it might be. You can help yourself in some fashion. Obviously the game day roster isn't going to change much. You're just swapping out Andy Dalton for Nick Foles. But I think that when you start talking about possibly signing someone or bringing someone in, there's different ways you go about it, and one of them might be getting someone off a practice squad to the active roster, or getting someone in here that could be on the practice squad.
But what if it's Andy Dalton saying, you know, it's not that bad, it feels pretty good, it's bone on bone, it's a bone bruise, it's not a ligament situation, that it's a matter of I think I can come back in 2 weeks rather than three. And then if you're Matt Nagy hearing this, that's tough to ignore if you have a veteran quarterback who knows his body, hasn't been injured a ton, saying I can come back from this, you probably want that to happen more than putting him on an injured reserve.
And that's fair. And we'll run this by Big Z. We're going to bring him in next and apologize to him. It's Mully and Haw at Chicago Sports Radio, 6-7 to the Score.
O'Reilly. Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.